It's the Trivia Podcast, where I ask you questions about stuff you might not even know, but you just might if you watch TV shows
and movies. Hello and welcome to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Sheehan, and in this episode, I'll be asking questions from Land of the Lost. Our guest today is Adam from the podcast Battle of the Atom. Adam, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. First, let me say, we talked a little bit before the recording here, and I know you didn't love this movie, so I appreciate you watching it for me.
Well, the podcast that I come from, we rank different comic book stories, and I have a fondness for ranking the bad ones, too. So it was an interesting challenge to watch this movie and then to come on here and talk about it.
For some reason, it's one that I just love. I know that this is not a highly rated or well-liked Will Ferrell movie, but man, does it hit my funny bone somewhere. But before we get into that, again, you have a podcast, Battle of the Atom. Now, you said just comic book stories. I guess I thought it was more of an X-Men-based podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all X-Men. So we've been doing the show for about 5 years. It's me and my co-host, Zach Jenkins.
That's awesome. Congratulations, by the way. I'm coming up on two here, and it feels like a huge accomplishment.
It should. Just keep it going. You know, it just becomes part of your weekly schedule after a while, at least it does to us. Sure. So our show is based around a simple premise: to rank every single X-Men story that has ever been put to paper, which there are quite a few of them. Right now, I think we are going close to like 700 stories.
Wow.
So every week we take three stories. One of them is recommended by a listener through our Patreon, and then we pick two to go with it, and we just put them on this giant list after we talk about them. So it's a lot of fun, and we are no way looking to stop, so we just keep going.
Is there an end in sight? Do you know, can you tell us how many X-Men related stories are there out there?
Well, I mean, logistically, they are still publishing X-Men stories each week, and there's more than three issues on a given week. I think we could legitimately just be doing the stories forever.
Sure.
I guess it'll be up to Zach and I whether we end up quitting before we like end up in nursing homes.
All right. Sounds good. Now, again, you said you rate stories here. Are there any that stand out? Do you have like a number 1, 2, 3 that have deserved those spots?
Well, the number one story on our list currently is the Jonathan Hickman, Pepe Larraz, and R.B. Silva recent masterpiece, House of X and Powers of Ten. So if people are looking to jump onto the book, they should check that out. That's from about 2 years ago now. And my personal fave is in the top 10 of the list, which is the Asgardian Wars, which is where the X-Men go to where Thor lives. And that's a really fun story. And then all the way down at the bottom in like the 670s or whatever is a really terrible Chuck Austin story called The Draco, which is a reimagining of Nightcrawler's origin story that's about as terrible as it can possibly be.
Oh, man, I am a sucker for Nightcrawler. I just had the guests from the podcast, the Ex-Wife podcast, where a guy and his wife talk about X-Men as well. And he said Nightcrawler was one of his favorite characters. Nightcrawler is one of mine. It's a shame that that story is just placed dead last.
We love Nightcrawler. That's why the story is last, because it misses the point of what Nightcrawler is about so enormously. Plus, the art is really, really bad. And there's some Chuck Austin's just, God bless him. He's a very cool showrunner. You know, he's done, I believe, some of Steven Universe and of the Netflix stuff. But when he wrote X-Men, he was very bad at it. So we try and avoid those stories.
Fair enough. Do you have a favorite X-Men, a favorite mutant?
Well, the reason I kind of got started with all of this was I was doing a webcomic about Bishop and Jubilee going on adventures. And those are two of my favorites. So I really do like them, especially when they have a tendency to appear on panel together. But I'm a sucker for most of them. X-Men's a team sport, so it's sure. hard to pick just individual ones.
Now, I remember seeing Jubilee. She's only been in one movie, right?
Jubilee appears not for very long, I think, in X-Men Apocalypse.
Okay, maybe that's why I don't quite remember.
Not a great movie, you know?
No.
Probably really good casting, you know, all around of the younger guys, but not terrific.
Right. I remember seeing the costume and maybe a quick picture of the actress on social media, and I remember being really excited. Of course, she's one of the main ones that I know. You know, she has a main part in the X-Men comic TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has her own thing there. So I was excited to see her, and I was hoping to see more of her. I'm not familiar with Bishop, though. Who's that?
Bishop is a character that was introduced in the early 90s by Will Sportaccio, right after Chris Claremont leaves the book. And he's essentially from a war-torn future where he is a kind of a super cop. And he tracks down serial killers and kills them, RoboCop style. But he comes back in time, accidentally, to hunt down one of these supervillains and gets stuck. And the fun part about the character is that, especially in the 90s, he's grown up in this alternate future, like just absolutely fan geeking out about who these X-Men were because they're like his heroes. And uh-huh. then he ends up on the X-Men with those people. And it's a delight. So he's just sort of like a gruff, you know, gun toting, energy manipulating guy. But in his grumpiness, he's a lot of fun.
Was he in Deadpool 2?
I think he appears briefly in the future parts of X-Men Days of Future Past, but that, I believe, is the only time they've tried to put him on screen.
All right, because it sounds like Josh Brolin's character in Deadpool 2 was, again, I think some...
Oh, yeah, that's Cable. Like
Cable!
Same era, you know, same kind of idea where, you know, we have time travelers that have big guns and are grumpy.
Sure. Well, again, before we get started with Will Ferrell trivia, I have to ask, do you have a favorite Will Ferrell moment?
Oh, man. Huge fan of Elf.
of course.
That's an annual must watch, and RIP James Caan. Because it's so funny that James Caan has so many great roles. And like the first thing I thought of when he passed away recently was Elf. But love him in Elf. But probably my favorite has got to be Anchorman. I mean, oh,
with the bullet. Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that I walked out of that. I saw it in the theater, walked out and kept telling everybody I knew that they got to go see this. Ended up going back to the theater and seeing it again, like within a week.
Of course.
And I think that's probably the one I go back to the most. So, and I mean, there's so many great moments from that, but I do love the scene where he's talking to his dog about eating the wheel of cheese.
Not even mad.
He's not even angry. He's impressed.
It is my all-time favorite as well. Maybe not even Will Ferrell movie, just movie in general, I think. I think the first time I watched it every day for a week. You know, I had these kids in middle school. They were like, you know, I don't speak Spanish, Baxter. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? I watched the movie, loved it. And just recently it came on TV, not recently, I should say, while I was at home visiting my parents over breakfast, it came on the TV. And I was just crying. I was like, this is comedy gold every single time.
It really is. I think if I was going to pick like a more random choice, it might be there was this short period of time, probably in the late 2000s and the aughts, where Will was trying to be like more of a serious actor.
Sure.
And he was in this existential crisis movie called Stranger Than Fiction, which I have a warm spot for that movie, even though it's not perfect.
I watch it. I can't say I remember it. I rate everything I watch on IMDb, and I gave it an 8, so I liked it, but I will have to revisit at some point.
No worries.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we are going to get ready for trivia here. But first, to my current listeners out there, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you rate and subscribe and get some friends to do the same. You can also send in your own trivia, email the show, and sign up for my Patreon to get 4 sweet bonus episodes a month. But more on that after some trivia. Adam, are you ready to go?
I hope so. I watched this movie, and I don't know if I'm ready, but I'm going to try my best.
All right. Well, we're going to build up your confidence with round one, the easy round.
Okay.
All right. Starting with question number one. Who is Rick presenting to at the beginning of the movie? Question number two. Rick says he got laughed out of mainstream science and points to a sign that he says is a slap of truth that says what? Question number three. Every time the tachyon amplifier turns on, what happens? Question number four. Rick tries to take a look at Chaka's ankle and says, keep in mind, although I am a doctor, I'm not what? Question number five. What does Dr. Rick Marshall say that offends the T-Rex? Question number six. What's Rick's plan to hide / camouflage from the T-Rex? Question number seven. Rick's eyes and nose burn after camouflaging himself, so he tries to relieve it by doing what? And question number eight. What did Rick gift Matt Lauer at the end of the movie? Going back to question number one, who is Rick presenting to at the beginning of the movie?
All right, I'm answering now, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I thought the answer was Matt Lauer, but then once we get past the interview on the Today Show, he is presenting to a room full of school children.
A room full of kids, a classroom is what I was looking for. Yep. Which caught me off guard the first time I watched. You know, he's giving this, it seems very scientific presentation here. And the lights turn on and we just see all these kids that ask questions that don't matter. And I love how frustrated he gets.
Well, it's unclear whether he's the teacher or whether he's a guest. But I did appreciate seeing Bobby J. Thompson, who asks some inappropriate questions of Will. He's the kid from Role Models. So it was nice seeing that cameo in there.
Oh, question number two. Rick says he got laughed out of mainstream science and points to a sign in the classroom that he says is a slap of truth that says what?
There's two inspirational posters that are mentioned in the movie. I cannot remember what this one is.
This one has an athlete on it.
Oh, it's not your vault.
If you don't make it, it's your own dang vault is correct.
All right. I couldn't remember the exact phrasing. I didn't realize it was the same one because he mentions that poster later in the movie too. But
Which it's weird how often this poster comes up in this movie.
I think there's like 3 references to it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a solid pun.
And again, how he uses it as a vault later, and it's like everyone's talking about it like it's meaningful, and it's totally not.
No, absolutely not. But it makes for a good gag later in the movie.
Question number three. Every time the tachyon amplifier turns on, what happens?
If I remember correctly, Rick is a huge fan of A Chorus Line, and his iPod begins to play. I hope I get it.
It plays A Chorus Line is correct. Oh, I think I sang this song all the time after I watched this movie. I've never seen A Chorus Line. I don't know anything about it. But, if I'm like going shopping and I need something, it's like, I hope I get it. I hope I get it.
Chorus Line's great. I mean, it's just a musical about people trying to get onto Broadway. But it makes for a good gag.
I'm surprised I haven't seen it yet. With how much I love this movie, you know, it's on my list.
Okay.
Question number four. Rick tries to take a look at Chaka's ankle and says, keep in mind, although I am a doctor, I'm not what?
I don't remember. Does he just say I'm not a physician?
I'm not a licensed physician is correct.
Oh, okay. All right. Not bad.
I do love how he talks to Chaka, though. You know, we have Holly, we have Will, and he's like, Dr. Rick Marshall.
He's very demeaning to Chaka, which, I don't know. Chaka didn't deserve that.
No, he didn't. Oh, man. Question number five. What does Dr. Rick Marshall say that offends the T-Rex?
The dinosaurs only have the brains the size of a walnut.
He has the brain the size of a walnut is correct. Another gag that, again, I love just seeing come up a couple times.
Yes, because later the T-Rex does deposit a walnut wrapped up in bamboo leaves or some kind of palm leaves that is the size of, like, I don't know, how big is that walnut?
At least a watermelon.
Yeah, it's huge.
What is it? It's a walnut. Question number six. What's Rick's plan to hide slash camouflage from the T-Rex?
Well, Rick has this brilliant idea that he is going to douse himself in dinosaur urine and has a giant jug of it and just takes a big old shower in it. It's pretty gross.
Cover themselves in dinosaur urine is correct. And I love all of Will's follow-up questions. Wait a second. How'd you get that? I think this was one of my first Danny McBride movies, and I have to say, I love him in this role.
He's fantastic. He kind of levels things off and, you know, really plays a good foil to Will, given what he's got to work with. You know, the script's not, like, the most amazing thing in the world, but he's selling it.
Sure. And, you know, all these times when... you know, they get, like, sucked into that sand pit in the beginning, and he's freaking out. And he's like, why are you guys freaking out? Like, I've never seen anything like this before. And he just takes everything to a different level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, speaking of that urine, question number seven, Rick's eyes and nose burn after covering himself in the urine, so he tries to relieve it by doing what?
I believe he splashes more of it upon himself, thinking that that is somehow going to help.
A second dose, yep, a second dose, which, again, he immediately regrets. Made everything worse.
The amount of substances that Rick does get covered in this movie is really disgusting, if you think about it.
Oh, man, you're right. So, again, he goes through the dinosaur's intestines.
Right.
He gets covered in urine.
Yep.
And I guess also at least the T-Rex saliva when he's, like, roaring at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, there's also that really gross bug.
Oh, of course. Ooh, and to end round one with question number eight, what did Rick gift Matt Lauer at the end of the movie?
I believe he gives him a dinosaur egg, which turns out in the end credits to actually be a Sleestak egg.
Ooh, man, you stayed till the post-credit scene. All right.
I was wondering. I was like, there's no way. You know, maybe they'll play some ad-libs or, you know, some bloopers. And I was like, no, there's a post-credit scene? Think there was supposed to be a sequel to this?
I'm still waiting. You know, I think Anchorman 2 came out at least 15 years maybe after the first. So it's just a matter of time. We're in the age of sequels well past a decade.
So, yeah. Keep holding up faith there, bud. One day.
Well, at the end of round one, you are 8-for-8 right now.
Wow. Okay. I did watch this movie.
Can I ask when?
Probably within the last week. Over the last, like, 2 or 3 years, I've gotten really intense about my movie watching.
Sure.
Signed up for Letterboxd. I'm, like, logging a good, like, 3 movies a week. So,
jealous.
This was sandwiched somewhere in between my theatrical viewing of Nope, and I think I just watched 3 Days of the Condor last night. So just keeping them going. Keep it going.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I consider myself a huge movie lover as well, hence this podcast. But it has been a lot of rewatching movies. I haven't been able to see anything new in a while because there's just... so much I have to watch to keep up with this, but I'm going to squeeze it in there sometime.
Cool.
Well, I've 7 medium questions for you next year.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Starting with question number 9. The news says you can find Rick's book in which department? Question number 10. What type of scientist does Will say have looked at the cave? Question number 11. What does Will start singing when he touches the vibrating crystal? Question number 12. While running away from the dinosaurs, Rick says to run how? Question number 13. While explaining to Will and Chaka what they need to do to get the tachyon amplifier on the volcano, what suddenly happens to each of them? Question number 14. For 2 points, maybe three, Holly restores Rick's confidence by showing him a fossil of what in the classroom at the beginning of the movie? And question number 15, for another 2 points, Rick says solving the fossil fuel crisis boils down to two simple words. What does Matt say? And then what does Rick say? Going back to question number 9, the news says you can find Rick's book in which department?
I believe Matt says the Department of Crazy People or something like that.
Oh, you're close, but I'm going to need something a little closer, I think. Oh,
what is it? It's the somebody out of their minds. I don't remember what he says exactly.
I'm going to take that. The I'm out of my freaking mind
That's
department.
That's what it was. Okay.
Oh, man. Line. Oh, that gets me every time, and to which I think Dr. Rick Marshall comes back and tries to fight him.
Yes. Yep. That's when he jumps back in, tries to start a fist fight.
And then gets sprayed with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Oh, question number 10. What type of scientist does Will say have looked at the cave?
Caveologists?
Caveologist is correct.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. I seem to remember him saying, which I sure, is that a thing? I don't know.
I think it just might be a different form of geologist, but.
There we go. That sounds more accurate.
But for caveologists to look at the cave? Oh, man. Question number 11. What does Will start singing when he touches the vibrating crystal?
That I don't know. I don't remember. What does he start singing?
I can give you a hint here. It's kind of auto-tuney.
Oh, right. All right. They start singing Cher's If You Believe in Love After Love.
Do You Believe in Life After Love is correct.
Oh, see... All right, this is one of the confusing things, is that Danny McBride's character is named Will. So I'm thinking about Will Ferrell, and it's really Danny McBride. Okay,
yep, got no, it. You're 100% right. That is a little confusing as I'm going back and reading the questions as well.
Thank you for that hint.
Yes, yeah, so you're not wrong. Happy to give hints. This is really low-stakes trivia. But again, I think this song and the chorus line song, you know, I always have... some extra iTunes cash from a gift card somebody gave me. I bought both of those songs after watching this movie.
Hey, that Cher song's a classic. You know, don't sleep on that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I learned how to play that on my ukulele. So I love that song.
I'm glad.
Question number 12. While running away from the dinosaurs, Rick says to run how?
I believe he says to run in like a diagonal pattern to like...
Diagonal is correct. He calls it something else, though.
What does he call it?
More reptile-like?
Zigzag? Snake formation? What
man.
Does he say? All right, I'll take the L on that. What does he call?
Man, is this that low-stakes trivia? I'm not sure. You have some bonus points coming up here. He says serpentine patterns.
That's what it is. Okay. Yeah, it was
serpentine
something snake.
Serpentine patterns.
Serpentine, okay.
And then again, I love Will... or Danny McBride yelling from the top of that hill like, you ever get tired of being wrong? I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Question number 13. While explaining to Will and Chaka what they needed to do to get the tachyon amplifier on the volcano, what suddenly happens to both of them?
Jeez. I don't remember. I remember what happens on the volcano, but I don't remember what happens to them before they're going to get it. So I don't know the answer to this one.
Rick Marshall is talking to Will there. He's explaining what he's going to have to do. And then something suddenly happens to Will. Rick says, I know you're faking.
Oh, well, they both pretend to be asleep,
That's what I was looking
for. Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know whether we were on the volcano or not at that point of our question. So yes, they both pretend that they have passed out or are sleeping.
Yeah. Something that I've been wanting to do to somebody that's telling me to do something for a long time now.
Give it a shot. See what happens.
Question number 14. Holly restores Rick's confidence by showing him a fossil of what in the classroom at the beginning of the movie?
That would be Rick's lighter.
A lighter is correct. I'll give you two additional points for how much she says that lighter is and what's written on it.
The lighter, I think, says Big Cat.
That is correct.
What's the other part of the question?
She says like a...
How old?
She puts a cost on the lighter.
I don't know. $4 lighter?
She says a $10 lighter.
$10 lighter. Okay. I didn't get that one.
But it does say Big Cat, so I'm giving you 2 points for that.
Ooh, all right.
You are back to 14 for 14. And our last two-point question here, number 15. At the very beginning of the movie, Rick says solving the fossil fuel crisis boils down to two simple words. What does Matt say, and then what does Rick say?
Okay, I think Lauer says renewable energy.
Uh-huh.
And then Rick says time warps.
That is correct. Matt says renewable biofuels.
Biofuels, okay.
Rick says close time warps.
Sure, time warps. Let's go with that.
Oh, man. Wow, their interactions, I do enjoy.
Yeah, it's funny. I was joking before, but I mean, it is really like sad how that Matt Lauer cameo just does not age well. You know, yeah. I was watching another terrible movie, Marry Me, with J-Lo and...
Owen Wilson.
Yeah, Owen Wilson.
Oh, that wasn't good. I thought the trailer had potential.
You know, there's some really good J-Lo stuff in there. For whatever reason, Owen Wilson is just sleepwalking through it. He's about as unappealing as he's ever been in his career. It's really weird.
Oh, bummer.
But there's this ongoing gag in that movie where Jimmy Fallon is the bad guy in like some scenes,
okay,
as himself. And I'm like, okay, this should age a little bit better. I hope.
Right. Right. Interesting. You know, I want to check it out, but now I'm not sure.
No, you don't. You do not want to watch it. If you want to just get a sense of like what the most creative moment of that movie is, there's a song that J-Lo sings at her live performance called Church. And just check that out when you get a chance on YouTube. The rest of the movie, you could probably skip and be fine.
Okay. Well, at the end of round two, you are 16 for 15 right now, and I have 5 hard questions left.
Okay. I'm going to try my best. I don't know.
You're doing great.
I feel like I'm going heavy on the hints here.
Hints are allowed. It's low stakes. But starting with question number 16, when Chaka tries to warn the gang about the slee stacks, what do they think he's saying? Question number 17. Will says he moved 3 times to be closer to a what? Question number 18. When Holly kisses Rick and says she's been wanting to do that since she first met him, what is Rick's response? Question number 19. For 2 points, Rick tries to intimidate Enoch by saying he wrestled at where? And what is Enoch's response? And question number 24, 1, 2, 3, 4 points. What restaurants did Rick go to when he was trying to work up the courage to turn on the tachyon amplifier? Going back to question number 16, when Chaka tries to warn the gang about the slee stacks, what do they think he's saying?
Oh, man, this is tough. I can remember that scene. I'm remembering that scene where they encounter the sort of like... area with the crystal, and then the slee stacks are all popping out of their little windows. What the heck does he say?
It is a Mexican food.
That he wants tacos?
I might give you a half a point for that. It's a kind of taco.
Oh, kind of taco.
I think it might be a seasoning. I'm actually not sure what this word is.
Let's see. Oh, geez. cilantro or I do not remember. He keeps gesturing that it's tall, and they are not getting it. So I don't remember what he says.
Sure. He says chorizo tacos.
That's what it is. Chorizo. Okay.
Now, am I correct in saying that's a seasoning?
No. Chorizo is chorizo is awesome. It's like a really good spicy sausage. But yes, you will find it in tacos. So if you have never had a chorizo taco, highly recommend it.
All right. All right. Question number 17. Will says he moved 3 times to be closer to a what?
I want to say it's a restaurant because he's obsessed with food.
It is a restaurant.
Is it Subway?
It's no, not it's Subway. Not
Subway. He has this whole, I think there was like some product placement with Subway because he goes on a big like side thing about Subway and Jared. Also not a great, that did not age well.
This is a casual dining restaurant and it's, I don't know, I don't think it's that. It's not good enough to move 3 times for.
What the heck is it? I know they encounter the Bob's Big Boy statue in the Land of the Lost, but that's not what he says.
Sure, sure. It also the restaurant mentions an expensive gem.
Expensive gem. All right, I don't know. This one's slipping my mind. What is it?
He moved 3 times to be closer to a Ruby Tuesdays.
That's what it was. A Ruby Tuesdays. Oh, man. All right.
My last couple experiences there have not been great.
No, you would never. But that just shows that Danny McBride's character is, he's got a screw loose.
Yeah.
He's great.
Question number 18, a line that makes me laugh out loud every single time. When Holly kisses Rick and says she's been wanting to do that since they first met, what is Rick's response?
Rick says, "You mean we could have been doing this the whole time?" Which is pretty great.
That's absolutely correct. Oh, man. I love that line. I love that line. There's certain lines, you know, I think in The Other Guys, whenever they say, well, not whenever, when they say aim for the bushes, I just lose it. And this is just one of those times. I love it.
Same writers, right? I believe it's the same creative team behind Land of the Lost and the Other Guys.
I know The Other Guys was directed by Adam McKay, as most of Will Ferrell's movies are, but I know this one wasn't.
Yeah, it's not Brad Silberling who's the director, but I think Chris Henchy did write it. So you got a common writer. But, oh, wait, no. He's just an executive producer.
Okay.
All right, forget it. There's some sort of link there. Anyway, keep going.
Well, for 2 points, question number 19. Rick tries to intimidate Enoch by saying he wrestled at where, and what is Enoch's response?
All right, so he says he wrestled at Purdue.
Uh-huh.
I do remember that, but I do not. Does Enoch say something about another rival school? I don't remember what Enoch says.
Enoch mentions it's something to say that he wasn't a very good wrestler.
Bench warmer, maybe?
But a little better than that.
JV.
JV is correct.
Yes!
Purdue. Ooh. And then Enix. JV.
It's amazing what a little hint can do.
Happy to do it.
Thank you for that.
And question number 20 for 4 additional points.
Okay.
What restaurants did Rick go to when he was trying to work up the courage to turn on the tachyon amplifier?
Yeah, he goes to like 4 different fast food places.
Mm-hmm. And one of them you just mentioned.
I'm pretty sure one of them is Subway.
He ended up at Subway, yep. And he goes to 3 places first.
Taco Bell?
Not Taco Bell, but a different taco place.
Different taco place. Ooh. What's another national taco place?
I don't think we have this on the East Coast.
Where else does he go? Does he go to KFC?
Not KFC, but another chicken place.
Popeyes?
Popeyes is correct.
All right, so I got 2 out of the 4. God, what are the other ones?
The other one, again, we have one taco place.
One taco place.
And the other one is, I know a lot of people don't like this one very much. And they don't do burgers.
Don't do burgers. Oh, it's Long John Silver's.
Not Long John Silver's.
No, no. They don't do burgers.
They don't do burgers. Not seafood.
And they don't do seafood. And people don't like it.
And people aren't crazy about it. This is on no one's top. I'm sorry?
No, it's not a pizza place.
Not a pizza place.
All right, I'm stumped. I don't remember.
All right. You still get 2 points for Popeyes and Subway. The other two were Arby's and Del Taco.
That's right. No, we don't have Del Taco on this wonderful East Coast of ours, do we?
No, I don't know if I've ever seen a Del Taco.
That's okay. That's all right. I'm glad that Rick Marshall feasted. He seems to have some real problems with eating.
Lapse into a food coma. But tell you what, I am a fan of Arby's. I don't care what anybody says. I am a fan of their roast beef sandwiches and their milkshakes.
I'll go to Arby's. I'm sure. Let's go.
Hey, well, that's game with a score of 21.5 out of 20. Congratulations, Adam.
Whoa. I got to say, I did not know what to expect, and I am shocked that I came in with a score that high. So thank you for that challenge. That was really, that was intellectually stimulating.
I don't know if those are the right words, but I'm happy to do it. Now, before we get started recording this bonus episode here, would you like to plug your stuff?
Sure. So folks who are looking for Battle of the Atom can find it on new episodes every Monday on just about every podcast service imaginable. So if you listen on Spotify, listen on Apple Podcasts, wherever, just search Battle of the Atom. It will come up. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Arthur Stacey. And if you want to, I'm also a visual artist. If you want to check out my drawings, you can go to Instagram.com/adam.rec. And the other thing that we work on as part of like a larger project is it's not just X-Men, is our website, comicsxf.com, which has all kinds of recaps, essays, you name it. It's just a really cool place where a lot of cool and very talented writers are talking about comics. So if you've never been to the site, check it out. And that's about all I got.
And again, it is a really extensive site. I mean, there's another, four or five at least podcasts that comics, was it SFX?
Yeah, ComicsXF is the home of Bat Chat. Which is basically Battle of the Atom, but for Batman. So if you're into that. And recently we had one of our sister shows, Chris's on Infinite Earths, just wrapped up their run. And, we hope that we're going to be continuing to expand our podcasting universe because we do all kinds of stuff.
And again, you said you'll have your podcast at least till you're in senior home, so you have that going for you.
You know, we're probably going to hit 300 episodes sometime early next summer, maybe even awesome. In the spring. So just we'll keep it going.
And again, links to all of Adam's stuff are in the show notes, so be sure to check out all of his stuff there. We are about to record a bonus episode, so if you'd like to check that out, you can listen to all the bonus episodes on Patreon for just $2 a month. Head on over to iTunes to drop a rating and tell someone you know about the show. It would really mean a lot. Lastly, if you have questions of your own or answers to any of mine, feel free to email me at tvtriviapod@gmail.com or reach out on any of the socials at tvtriviapod. Adam, again, thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to see how you do on the bonus episode.
I have no idea what a bonus episode even consists of. I'm really excited. So thank you for having me on. I can't say I recommend this movie, folks, but... You know, if any of this intrigued you, you can go check it out. It does have its charms.
That's a way to put it. Listeners, thank you, and stay tuned for more trivia.